الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Welcome everybody to the Safina Society Nothing But Facts live stream on a toasty and warm, and I guess you could say kind of sort of humid Thursday afternoon, in which, or noon midday, in which we're actually taking the youth, we're taking them over to Patterson. And if you come to Jersey, there are these little enclaves, and Patterson is the biggest one. Hey, could you go to, when you get a minute, get a map of New Jersey? You know, I'm all into maps. Yeah, I need to know where we are, where we're going. So, and then I need you to type in New Brunswick and type in Patterson. We're taking about 40 to 50 shabab to Patterson to a national park that's there. That's the first thing. It's a beautiful national park. And then we're taking them to Qahwa House, and then we're taking them to Sheikh Yasir Fahmi's operation, which is Dhikr and Fikr. And we're going to have a dhikr there and a talk. So now type in there, Omar. Type in, actually, yeah, zoom out a little bit so everyone sees what New Jersey looks like. There you go. See, that's the edge of New Jersey right there. That is the great state of New Jersey, which is always ranked as the best place to live because it's so close to New York, so close to New Jersey, Philly. Not that Philly really is a huge city. It's like number 7 in the country. New York, of course, being number 1 in the world in terms of size and in terms of impact. We got beaches. We got mountains. We got everything but desert here. We got Ivy League schools, if you're smart. We got state schools, if you're in the middle. And we got, by the way, county colleges. It's a great option now. Why would you go to Rutgers, pay 2 years of Rutgers tuition, and it's not even that great of an education? Just go to the county college, right, for 2 years. Yeah, and then transfer your credits and save your money. Now type in New Brunswick to Patterson.
Yeah, I'm going to show them.
Okay, so there's New Brunswick. Just so you guys know where we are on the map.
We're like right here, right?
Like that's so. We're like right there, exactly. Said Livingston Ave, there's Jersey Ave. See Jersey Ave? Yeah.
Jersey Ave is...
Why don't you type in 367 Somerset? I hope we don't get stalkers and stuff, no. Because you know that we do that.
You guys know where we're at.
Yeah, we do get people who come in and sort of...
Yeah. No, we're ready to...
Maybe one out of 50, I would say. Maybe one out of 100. All right, now let's go to La Cucina 367. We're on Google. Look at that, folks. We are on Google.
Oh, yeah, actually, by the way, everyone, if you're watching this, go give us 5 stars.
Yeah, give us yeah.
Right now, please. It actually does a lot. Like, yeah, there's actually this this halal meat shop near here. The guy gives you $3 off if you give him a 5-star rating on thing. So me, my sister, my brother-in-law, we all got $9 off because we all did a 5-star rating.
That's
amazing.
And
he's the highest rated in the whole, like, tri-state.
Who is it?
I think, you know, Mars Halal Meat?
It's a butcher.
It's a butcher.
When I open a restaurant someday, which I've always been talking about owning a restaurant, then that's what I'll do.
Just give a discount. Yeah.
Yeah. Now listen up.
Yes, 5 seconds.
Hit directions to Patterson, Great Falls, Patterson. We're going to the Great Falls in Patterson. That's the first thing. Great. And Patterson. Yeah, there you go. Click. So that's where we're going today. So that Patterson is Little Palestine. You know that in this area? That for some reason, all the Shoem, mainly the Palestinians, some Syrians, you know, Syrians are very, no, they don't go to Main Street. They don't work in restaurants. They have to be doctors and lawyers and these Damascus folks who are, you know, they're very proud people. I don't mind it. But, you know, they don't mingle with the humble types and the modest types. They got their own thing going on. Okay, because they're two click. They're literally half a click from being white. So they don't mingle with us. Anyway, my phone's going to blow up with Syrians telling me, what are you saying? Blah, blah, blah. We know it's true. Halab, yes, nice people. Hims, amazing people. Sham, Damascus. When you meet someone, when you sit with people from Damascus, you walk in like this and you don't look at anyone and you don't talk to anybody. Okay, then they'll respect you. But you will be all nice and all that. You may be flicked away like a flea. All right, now listen up. Click on the Great Falls. We need pictures of the Great Falls. I need to know where I'm going. Oh, look at that. That's where we're going today. You see that? That's where we're taking the youth today. All of you who are out there, you got to always be doing work with the youth. Wow, that is, it's like a miniature Grand Canyon. Look at that. Very good, very good. Now go to Palestine Way and show everyone what pictures of Palestine Way is, because it's literally a whole street. No, you, okay, fine. You can look it up there. Yeah, look it up in Google Images. So, because that's just show us the map. We need to see what the street looks like. Do it as a Google search.
This is it, right? I mean,
yeah. No, do it as a Google search so we can see pictures.
Oh, go on Google Images?
Yeah. Okay. So Google. Yeah. So we need to see what it looks like. It's really neat. Hit images now.
Okay. Oh, like a picture. Okay.
Yeah, we need to see pictures. I'm all about pictures.
I mean, they're all.
See, that's what. Okay, so that's just the street sign. Anyway, they're not going to. There's not a lot of pictures. But it's all. The second generation are taking over the restaurants. The dads, right? These places were little mafioso hangouts for Palestinian guys, right? Then it became more and more trendy. And now the second generation took over all these restaurants, it seems. And they're really doing good. They're really doing a good job, right? All right, let's talk about the far right types. They're going nuts over a picture of some Muslims eating with their hands. Of course, they're going to look for any little thing to make fun of Muslims, but I got a question to ask. How do you guys eat hamburgers? How do you guys eat pizza? How do you guys eat nachos, right? How do you guys eat tacos? With a fork and spoon, right? The far right, we have so many enemies here. That's okay. No problem. I'll never back down from a fight. In fact, there's a quality that's the more you go, the more stubborn we're going to get. That's how it is. But that's a question. And the comment said, you know, civilization's going one by one. Hold on a second. You're talking about civilization, and you're a culture of pornography where it's common practice to now urinate on the person and in her mouth and defecate on them, because we just literally had, okay? We just literally had a case of some famous person, maybe the wrestling guy or something, right? You know that wrestling, the WWF guy, where he was involved in a case where they defecated on the girl. That was his form of pleasure. And you're talking about civilization? Don't talk, because you guys are... How many times you got in the men's room and you see a guy at the stall, right? And he walks right out. A civilization that lacks any hygiene after the bathroom. All right. Harris says, should we have a globe on the desk?
Zoomed out, though. We need something, because we like to go in deep into the areas.
You need to see it. Okay. Yeah, that would be nice. So, seriously, civilization is gone. When the court papers that this lady, she filed a lawsuit against the WWF guy. Assalamu alaikum, you? Where the heck did you go?
You knew where I went, right?
For that long to North Carolina by yourself?
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks. What did you eat? You hunt squirrel or what?
Went out.
You ate out for 2 weeks? So how natural is that trip? You ate fast food for 2 weeks?
No, not fast food.
Okay, so on her court papers, she filed that for enjoyment, they defecated on her.
Well, my favorite place in the whole country.
So. That's great. And you're talking to us about civilization. You know, funny thing is, I remember one time a Muslim brother was washing his feet in the sink. Now, that's maybe not the smartest thing to do, right? But at the university. Then the MSA got a fine and got a letter of warning, that this is not hygienic. So we have a question. How is washing not hygienic? That's the first thing. Second thing, for Europe invasion, that's what it's the website's called, Europe invasion. Europe, you guys would not have food if not for us. That's the first thing. Look at all this I don't know what they're eating, but you go to Europe, everything is Turkish food, Lebanese food, desi food. Turkish food, Lebanese food, desi food. That's all it is. All right, enough. We're not sponsoring these this group right here. Okay. All right, let's go to our little reading session before we get to Bangladesh. Is there any book like Taqrib al-Nawawi? It's called At-Taqrib wa At-Taysir li Sayyidina al-Imam al-Nawawi. If you had to ask me to take one scholar's books with me on an island, it would be a tough decision. You can have Fakhr al-Razi, but all you'd have pretty much, well, I don't know his other books. He's mainly famous for his tafsir, right? Ibn Hajar is a candidate. Al-Ghazali is a candidate.
Has to be Suyuti, though.
Suyuti is a candidate. Suyuti, that's, you're going to cover everything.
He has everything.
Nawawi is definitely a candidate, right?
I think Suyuti is easily, like,
I think you're right about that.
He used to write so much. Yeah. Like, I think, what was it, when he claimed Ijtihad, they asked him, like, to prove it. Yeah. He's like, no, I can't, I'm too busy writing.
The first type of hadith in this book, Aqsamul Hadith, Sahihun wa Hasanun wa Daif. Listen up. If you are listening to nothing but facts, for more, you need to know this, okay? Haddu sahih, as-sanadu sahih. Remember, when we talk about hadith, we're not talking about the text, we're talking about this chain. Wa huwa mattasala sanaduhu bil udul lidabitin min ghairi shududhin wa la illa. The sound hadith has five conditions. It is connected. The chain is connected fully. That means there's no absent person. The identity of every single person is known and identifiable. Each person in the chain is upright. There are no attacks on his character. He is adala. His uprightness is established. Their accuracy in transmission is established. Al-dabitin. That's three right there. And then there are two negatives. The absence of shudud and the absence of illah. He's going to explain that. وَإِذَا قِيلَ صَحِيحٌ فَهَذَا مَعْنَاهُ لَا أَنَّهُ مَقْطُوعٌ بِهِ وَإِذَا قِيلَ غَيْرُ صَحِيحٍ فَمَعْنَاهُ لَمْ يَصِحْ إِسْنَادُ. When we say a hadith is not sahih, we're not saying the meaning is not sound. We are saying the chain is not sound. والمختار أنه لا يجزم في إسناده أنه أصح الأسانيد مطلقا وقيل أصلحها. As now, there's a debate amongst the scholars on can we say in the world of scholarship, do they say that there is a greatest chain? And the dominant opinion is the answer is no. We should not say that. However, it is permitted for a scholar to say the golden chain to me, for that scholar to say for him, meaning the transmitters and the authors and those who wrote the hadith down, for them to say to me the most reliable chain is. And so for the first chain is Zuhri from Salim from his dad, okay, which is Ibn Umar. Zuhri from Salim from Ibn Umar. Others say Ibn Sirin from Ubaidah from Ali Ibn Abi Talib. Others say Amash from Ibrahim from Al-Qama from Ibn Mas'ud. That's the Kufan Sanad right there. Then there's Zuhri from Ali Ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin from his son from Ali Ibn Abi Talib. And yet others say Malik from Nafi' from Ibn Umar. There's two Nafas, keep in mind. Nafa who recites, and the Nafa, the Mawla of Ibn Umar. He is the narrator of Hadith. فعلى هذا قيل الشافعي عن مالك عن نافع عن ابن عمر. What a chain. أول مصنف في الصحيح المجرد صحيح البخاري. Let's stop there because we're taking a nabdha only. Literally, a sliver. Because this is a podcast and a live stream people listen to casually, and then we tuck in a vitamin here and a nutrient there, right? And let me quiz you all from yesterday, because this was good. I loved yesterday's reading. We read from the ninth type of hadith, which is the mursal. Let me quiz you all. All right. استمعوا جيدا. Listen well. Okay, here. Number one, how can there be a sahabi whose hadith are mursal? Zag, did you listen to yesterday? First of all, the definition of a mursal hadith, we're going on 3 days talking about this, is when the sahabi is missing. The tabi'i cites the prophet directly. So how could we ever have a companion whose hadith is categorized as mursal? How can we have that? Yasin, you got that? Let's see anyone who in the chat who answers.
All right, chat.
Who in the chat knows, how can you have a companion? Okay. We have a Shi'i convert in the chat. Good for you. May Allah guide you and continue to guide you away from that cursing of the Sahaba. وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. Discussion over. Allah says your wives, their wives are your mothers, mother of the believer. So Atta' Beg Adabeg says the credibility of the tabi'i and the move more well known. No.
Someone said the child, your child.
Yes, who says that?
A few people said
it. Chief Latif, paying attention.
Amir said it first, actually.
Amir.
Budwani.
He said it first. Amir al-Budwani, the Sahabi, met the Prophet only as a child. Qablat tam. Oh, there. On Instagram, move that over so I can see the name. What's his name there? Faizan. Is that our Faizan, right? No, our Faizan's busy in medical school. You should be studying. Companion reported the hadith, but he did not hear directly from the Prophet. No, that's different. That's going to be the answer to another question. You can have a hadith that the narrator is a companion, but the scholars treat the hadith as mursal because that companion, he was a child when he met the Prophet, peace be upon him. All of his Islam he learned from the other companions, although he is a Sahabi because he was in the presence of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as a baby. And he's a Muslim. Okay, next question. How can there be a tabi'i now, but his hadith are mawsul? Mawsul is the opposite of mursal now. Mawsul is treated as it's a fully connected chain. But how here do we have a companion, a tabi'i, whose hadith are treated as mawsul? Now you have two pieces of terminology here. Mursal, missing a companion. Mawsul, fully connected chain. So how does that happen? Who has that? Who has the answer to that?
Ask us too.
No, the people in the chat.
When the Sahaba wasn't a Muslim when they heard it?
Yes. Top G. Change your name. That Top G needs a smack. Change that handle. Maybe he means Top G. He eats a lot of ghee in his food. Okay. Listen. A man was a kafir when he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had incidences with the Prophet. He observed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the passing of Sayyid al-Kawnayn alayhi salatu wasallam, he enters Islam. And he reports to us what took place when he met the Prophet. Right? So now that he's a Muslim, he will not lie about his memories. He will not lie. Okay? What's Zuhri talking? Zuhri's not a Sahabi.
Yeah, like for example, when we had the narrations from Zuhri.
You don't have a mic, so you can't talk too much. Okay. So, you see here, he was a kafir, and then he entered Islam after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he had experiences with the Prophet, so he narrates them. So he is a tabi'i, spiritual level is tabi'i. He was not honored with companionship. But because he's narrating directly what happened, right, his hadith is mawsul. All right, here's the last one. What is the mursal hadith, but it's treated as a mawsul? It's mursal, But it's treated as Mosul. Now, what is Mursal? Companions missing. What's Mosul? Completely connected chain. What is a Mursal that is totally treated as a Mosul?
All right, guys.
Who knows the answer to that? Top Tabi, I mean.
I mean, sorry,
Top Tabi. Hamza, did you do your job? What's your job? Water the plant. Don't even walk. Don't say salam. Don't even smile. Okay? You come, we water the plants right away. One full Poland Spring bottle. You got that? Now, the Mursal Hadith is when a companion, we absolutely have certainty that he did not attend an event with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he tells us about it. Clearly, where did he get it? From another companion. But because he's a companion, the Hadith is treated as Mawsul. You got that? The Hadith is treated as a fully connected chain. So much of Ibn Abbas is like this. So much of Abu Hurairah is like this. They are young companions who learned some from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the bulk of their knowledge from the Sahaba. So there, it's in action, it's a Mursal Hadith, but it's treated as a Mawsul Hadith. Top G, I'm no longer reading your comments until you change your name because... Top G. Then put an H in there so we can differentiate. Okay? Because that guy, the dude, he screwed up this one. He went with the right wingers. He went with Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And Elon Musk and Donald Trump are now fake tough guys in front of the whole world because Musk, we know, got spanked by Netanyahu and the Israel lobby, and they threatened to basically shut down his and put him $400 million in debt by crushing Twitter. We know that Trump, acted tough until he really messed with the deep state, and the deep state's bigger than him. And ever since then, he's been like a dog with his tail in between his legs. A complete, broken, tamed, now he's a fake tough guy, and they're both fake tough guys, okay? And Tate, I don't doubt his shahada in Islam, but he screwed up on this one big time. And he went with them on the issue of the UK riots. He went with them. So, no, we're not going to... There's no excuse for that. No excuse for that. All right. We have al-wala wal-bara in our religion. You know that? Which is essentially, we have loyalty and disavowing is based on stuff. It's not based on I like you, your personality, the matters of the dunya. It's based solely and nothing other than except your deeds. And when you are going to go and rouse up and side with people attacking Muslims in this manner, no, Allah, so I'm not going to be your friend. As kids say, we're not friends. Who here has kids? They would say, okay, we're not friends. Khalas, we're not friends. Now, if you change your ways, we're friends again. It's an easy thing for us, you know. For us, it's like an on switch and an off switch. Okay? Here's a question. It's not Q&A, but this is a question. All right, question says, I have a Maliki question. If you know the answer, when it comes to showing your feet during prayer, is it the whole foot or the back of the foot? This is the front of the top of the foot should not be shown at all. Is awra part of the awra in the Maliki Madhab? The bottom of the foot is not part of the awra. So if that person was to have its coverage only on the top of the foot, no problem. But if it's the back of the foot, it's not part of the bottom of the foot is not awra. The top of the foot in the Maliki fiqh is awra. Hanafi madhab, none of the foot. Nothing of the foot. There are many people in the summertime, they suddenly turn Hanafi in feet. What? Yes.
So, what happens in Umrah and Hajj when you can't wear shoes for the women? Like, you know, in Umrah and Hajj, you have like a special sandal?
No, not, that doesn't apply for women. It only applies for men. It applies for men. Okay. All right, listen up. Now let's talk about Bangladesh. What started as peaceful student protests in Bangladesh over a quota system for government jobs has escalated into a significant challenge and uprising against Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina and her ruling Awami legal party. They're admitting they're Awam. As per local media reports, Hasina resigned and left the country in an army helicopter. Typo here, Economic Times. Why do you have a typo like this? Oh, because it's economictimes.indiatimes.com. In is spelled wrong here. Do you not have a basic spell check? In an army helicopter after protesters announced plans to march to the capital, Dhaka, on Monday after a weekend of violence that resulted in fatalities. The military imposed an indefinite curfew and authorities have cut off internet access. Okay. Let's see what the issue was. Earlier, nearly 100 people were killed on Sunday as clashes between the police and anti-government protesters intensified. The student protests initially focused on abolishing quotas in civil service jobs have now grown into a broader anti-government movement. So the students want to abolish these quotas. Okay. Let's go. What students are protesting against PM Sheikh Hasina in Bangladesh. The mass protests in Bangladesh began a student demonstration demanding reforms to the civil service quota system. Students argued that the existing quotas unfairly benefited loyalists of Sheikh Hasina's Awami party. I was joking when I said Awam because it's clearly, it has another meaning, I'm sure. The protest, can you find out what it means?
It means like for the common people.
Oh, Awami, you mean like, for the people. Yeah, I see, for the people. Okay, the People's Party. The protest grew as demonstrators expressed broader discontent with Hasina's government, which they accused of autocratic practices and suppressing dissent. The government's response, including closing schools and universities, failed to ease the unrest. A Supreme Court, how easy is it to make these leaders leave? It seems like Egypt, Tunisia. Well, it didn't work in Syria, that's for sure. But, you know, how many times in these countries they just march, take to the streets, and then the person flies away on a military, you know, jet or something. The Supreme Court ruling, I only gave three examples. I think there's got to be more. But remember Egypt? Muhammad, how old were you from when Egypt thing happened? You must have been young, right? 9? Do you remember it? Because it was 11 days. That's it. And I thought, there's no way this is actually going to happen. But it did happen. Just 11 days of protests. That's it. And the guy gave three speeches in a span of 11 days to try to end everything. The first was stern. The second was, I don't remember what. The third was like begging for them to stop. Nothing stopped. And then he hits the road. Okay. So the situation intensified when former Army Chief General Iqbal Karim criticized the government's handling of the protest and called for troop withdrawal. Well, that means pretty much he's made a deal with somebody and he's not siding with Hasina. This, along with the current Army Chief's supportive stance towards the protesters, has further fueled the unrest. Is Pakistan's ISI behind the Bangladesh unrest? Oh, here come the fitan now. ET reported earlier that Chhatra Shibir, the student wing of the banned Jamaat Islami, ICNA basically. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, ICNA originates from Jamaat Islami. Allegedly backed by Pakistan's ISI, is inciting violence and turning student protests into a political movement in Bangladesh. Sources told ET that Pakistan's army and ISI aim to destabilize Hasina's government and restore the opposition BNP to power. The Hasina administration is closely monitoring the activities of opposition leaders. While the ISI's efforts to undermine the Hasina government are not new, the situation has escalated over job quotas. All right, then there's a whole timeline of events from July 1st, okay, until finally she hits the road. Is that's that easy in these countries to make the president or the dictator, I don't know, presidents or dictators resign? But that's it, right? That easy to make them resign, Sheikh Ajib, right? That's it. She's out. Well, who's in place? Do you know, Omar?
No idea. We gotta get the.
That's the pick you're choosing, Omar?
Just a normal, like, normal face. It would be bad taste. I think you're laughing.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You know, Omar is always making the thumbnails as we speak. Okay. All right, here's some other news. Kamala Harris rejects Israel arms embargo. It's all talk, no action from these people. Okay? All talk and no action.
What is that arms embargo?
An arms embargo means we stop selling weapons to you. She rejected it. So she's fine. She can't. These guys are just puppets. These presidents are just puppets. Okay? These presidents are just puppets. Hey, Mohammed, can you answer this phone and tell him that I'm streaming right now? I can't talk.
Who are we gonna vote for?
I talk Arabic. Well, I'm not voting for any of these clowns.
You said we have to vote for a third party candidate, right?
I don't have to, but okay.
Like Jill Stein.
I don't know. Okay, here's another one. I didn't know, and I didn't think that this image. Omar, can I ask you to go to Twitter, open up Twitter, and type it. Hey, Zach. Let's pick up his kids.
Okay.
We'll pick up his kids.
Okay.
Ryan Rosbiani. Go to at Ryan Rosbiani. Rozbiani. Now go down to his tweet. From 16 hours, that one, not that one, the next one, and put that on the screen. Yeah, the 16 hours one, 16 hours ago. Yeah. Okay. See, I didn't. There's a picture that Ryan's going to put up right now of a building where it looks like two rooms there are blown out. It looks like this. It looks like this. See this? There you go, that one. Put that one on. All right. It looked like two rooms are blown out of the hotel. I didn't know that. I didn't think that that's possibly, could possibly be the hotel room, the hospital room where these twins, their mom and their grandma, were targeted. Because there was no way to corroborate, right? I mean, it just looks like a building. And there's a lot of fake news out there, and you didn't want to post something that turns out to be fake news. So in the beginning, I was, like, skeptical. But repeatedly, there have people who have confirmed that this, in fact, is the hospital, and this was the room. So it's not like this was an attack on a building, and it just happened to be that. She was there. Okay? No. Nothing else in the hospital was attacked. Right? So this was a targeted attack. I don't know who Ryan Rosbiani is. But I just pulled it up because he has a picture came on my timeline. So he says, I'm convinced they targeted this family. Right? And there's another woman who puts a video, says that either the mother or the grandmother had posted on Facebook something against the Israel government. And that's the result of the...
Check what he was telling us when he gave his thing about, like, they do these targeted strikes.
Yeah.
Just they can take out... that they can take out, like, these... specifically, like, certain rooms and certain floors and leave everything intact.
It's insane. Okay, look at this. Look at this one. It's called Project Nimbus. Project Nimbus uses AI to target homes. How do they know what's what in Project Nimbus? Well, we got to find out. This Project Nimbus.
I think that's the Google thing that they're selling to.
This is the new Holocaust, folks, and all these companies and all these individuals and all these people, including religious people like Charlie Kirk, who is supporting Israel, die hard for Israel. They're going to go. They are going down in the wrong side of history. They're going to go down along the same. It's going to be worse than the people who supported Hitler. It's going to be worse because this time around you had any. There was no Hitler before that Hitler, right? Like in that world, there was nobody that they were saying, "Oh, that is so bad, we have to avoid ever doing that again," right? Hitler came and the worst person before him in the eyes of the Europeans was Napoleon. He didn't commit atrocities. So Hitler comes around at a time where there wasn't this precedent of having someone be that bad and genocide of people like this. So now you're doing it. On top of that, you're going to be worse because on top of that, you were the victims of Hitler. And you've been talking Hitler, 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 and you made him to be the new Satan in the world. Fine. You also have to have a bad example, right? You need to have a villain that everyone avoids to be like. So you have no excuse this time around. Yet Charlie Kirk and all these fake types and all these nations and all these companies, you're on the wrong side of history. We're going to look in 30 years back. You guys better put your head in the sand because all the information is not coming years later in a documentary of uncovered footage. No, it's coming at the moment. I just was scrolling through and I saw Charlie Kirk say, "I'm tired of this Israel hate. They're a moral nation trying to fight a moral war and they just happen to be able to not be able to avoid killing kids. And if they wanted a genocide, why don't they nuke them all?" What a stupid question. What a stupid comment. Because obviously if you nuke them all, it's going to look so obvious that you're genociding. Secondly, they cannot because the nuclear winter, the wind will push all that stuff over into your country, right? You can't nuke your neighbor. You can't nuke your neighbor. All the toxic smoke, fumes, all that is going to come into your country. And you're going to look so bad in the world. But they're probably trying to do a little here, a little there, a little bit here and a little bit there to decrease that population. I mean, John Mearsheimer himself, he's the expert on Israel's thought and the lobby's thought. And he's telling you from day one, all they want, their only solution, literally, their version of the final solution. This is the new Holocaust. They just switch sides. They were the victim on one side. Now they're the perpetrators on the other side. Is to eliminate the Palestinians. If you keep them, you're an apartheid state. If you turn democratic, your country ceases to exist within 10 years because you're going to be voted out of everything. You only have one solution, right? They only have one solution. Ethnically cleanse these Arabs little by little. Force them out. Force them all out of Gaza. Kill them all. Then start living there. And he said the solution for them is to initiate and kick off a broader mess, a bigger war. You know when you have a mess in your house, for example, let's say you have a leak in the house and you got to change the roof, the ceiling here. I got to change the floor here. At this point, you know, let's just redo the whole thing. Take a loan from friends, $50,000, redo the whole house, right? This is exactly what they're thinking. This is such a mess. The only real solution for them, let's just call it a day. Let's knock everyone out. Hezbollah, Iran, let's make a big war. And then while everyone's looking at Iran and Hezbollah and Lebanon and these places, then we'll mop up Gaza first. We'll mop up the West Bank. We'll send our settlers there. Kill as many as you can. and then we'll pull back from this war, and we'll be the far dominant population. Then no one's going to care. It's a solution. Google employees based in the U.S. have staged protests as the tech giant's offices in New York, California, and Seattle to oppose the $1.2 billion contract with the Israeli government. Known as Project Nimbus, the joint contract between Google and Amazon signed in 2021 aims to provide cloud computing infrastructure, AI, and other technology services to the Israeli government and its military, which has faced condemnation for its war in Gaza. Okay, described by UN experts and several countries as a genocide. Israel has killed more than 34,000. This is old numbers, probably past 50 now. 50,000 Palestinians. And they're intentionally, I have to believe, it's intentionally targeting kids. You got to believe that. It's intentionally targeting kids. They believe that. I told you Isaac Mizrahi, we saw his clip. Yusuf Mizrahi. All right. Destroy vast swaths of Palestinian coastal enclave. All right. And then after October 7, even more. Here is a look at why tech workers are opposing. So what are they? What is this Project Nimbus? It's led by No Tech for Apartheid. The group of the employees are called No Tech for Apartheid, which has been organizing Google employees against Project Nimbus. Tech workers are demanding that they have a right to know how their labor is going to be used, but there's little clarity about the project. It's impossible to feel excited and energized to work when you know your company is providing the Israeli government products that are helping to commit atrocities in Palestine. Google is offering advanced AI capabilities to Israel, which could harvest data for facial recognition. As of yet, the article is not telling us what exactly it is. There's a lack of transparency around this project. Data for the Israeli government, of course, is likely to extend to the army. All right, let's find another article that tells us what Project Nimbus actually is. It's AI. Okay, that's such a general and vague statement. All right, Project Nimbus is a cloud computing project that the Israeli government's military, Israeli finance ministry announced that the contract is to provide the government, defense establishment, and others with all-encompassing cloud solution. Although Project Nimbus' specific mission has not yet been revealed, blah, blah, blah. All right, so it's just vague right now. It's not vague to them, obviously, vague to us. But another Google Cloud software engineer was fired after a video shouting, "I refuse to build technology that empowers genocide." And it went viral. In April, dozens of employees participated in a sit-in at Google's New York and Sunnyvale headquarters. Okay. 9 were charged with trespassing and 28 fired. Let's see about this guy. Google fires employee. This is published in March of this year. Okay. Google fires employee after pro-Palestine protests at Israeli tech conference. Ryan, get off your phone. Get off your phone. You're an addict. Give me that phone. You're an addict. Give me the phone. No, part with your phone. You're an addict. Give me the phone. There.
Are you serious? No
way. Yeah, I'm serious. You're an addict. The whole time. Tick, 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 tick. iPad babies, they're called. What year were you born?
I guess.
I'm not... you're what, 21 years old?
22.
Okay. So you're not exactly an iPad baby. You're an iPad youth.
I was born 6 days after 9/11.
6 days after 9/11. Wow. That's how, you know, that's how birth dates were known back in the old day. Yemeni threads. You should get a scarf like this. Scarf like this from Yemeni threads. You know, the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wear his shawls, do you know? Well, one way, I'll just tell you one way, was that he would take the shawl like this, and have a little gap here, a little place to get some air, and throw it over the side. See, this method right here is the best way to wear a shawl. Remember that guy the other day said, Why so many props, capes, shawls, sticks? These are all things from the Sunnah that people gave me as gifts, right? So that's why I got this. Next thing, he's going to have Egyptian sticks. Well, the Yemeni threads, here it is, right? That's how you wear the shawl as per the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. And on top of that, the Prophet used to love the striped Yemeni garments. That's why you see a lot of stripes in this. That's actually from the time of the Prophet, and he loved those. That's why they wear them. You see that? So Yemeni threads has a lot of these shawls. Let's continue reading now. Tech giant Google fired an employee. This is way back in March, by the way, just to read about this Project Nimbus, to get educated on this subject matter. There's an event in New York City. The employee stood up during the keynote address by Barak Regev, head of Google Israel, saying in a video posted online that went viral, "I refuse to build technology that empowers genocide." The employee specifically called out Project Nimbus, $1.2 billion deal with Google and Amazon that supplies Israel and its military with cloud computing services. "Project Nimbus puts Palestinian community members in danger," he said. He's a hero. "This behavior is not okay, regardless of the issue, and the employee was terminated immediately for yelling, speaking out." I bet you if the employee spoke out and said, you know, all genders matter, blah, 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 he wouldn't be touched. And in fact, the CEO would say, "We hear you, right? We respect and we encourage our employees to talk and express themselves." In response to the firing, No Tech for Apartheid released a statement rebuking the tech company. "Google has engaged in a clear-cut act of retaliation against its own worker. When you're in bed with Israel, Israel comes first, you come second." You know, it's funny watching the America First Republicans, how they basically are now Israel first, all of them. Except for, you know, the hardcores, what they call some of these hardcores who are just like ideologically staunch, and they're a minority to be flicked aside. They just make a lot of noise. That's it. This world is not a world for ideological people. It's a world for people who are pragmatic. I mean, the political world, I mean. The worker said, "I'm proud to be fired for refusing to be complicit in genocide." The controversial project was met internally at Google with anger from many employees who say that the partnership was helping to advance Israel's discrimination. Blah, blah, blah. We got to go. It's time to go take the youth out. It's 1:30. The bus is going to leave at 3. I just want to see his video real quick, which was posted online on IG. And here we go. Here. Of course, all the older attendees there are booing him because the older generation, they are and have been in Israel's pocket from their childhood, from all the studies of genocide. You study the Holocaust, I mean. You study the Holocaust and you learn never to open your mouth. That's what happens. When you read what happened to them, you never open your mouth against them, right? So they're completely... their brain has been completely marinated upon this. And when you studied the Holocaust back in the day, you thought to yourself, how in the world would the people accept this? How in the world were the German people allowing this? How in the world were other nations allowing this? Well, you didn't have an answer for that back then. But fast forward, boom. You see it. You see it. It's when you're financially in bed with a group of people for so long, and then you have some of the nuts in terms of the Christian Zionists who believe these are God's chosen people, although these people curse your God and the mother of your God. So make square that. Who knows how that makes any sense? The Christians, but Christian Zionists are used to fool a lot of these alleged America First. Your alarm is going off. You got to put your clothes in the washer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who does the laundry at 1:30 p.m.? Okay, so you see that? That's how it happens. You thought we studied the Holocaust every year. Okay? Every time you study world history, you have to study the Holocaust. And you have to watch a Holocaust movie or documentary once a year. It's like rote. It's like drilling. All right, fine. You watch it. It's terrible. But then, and you wonder, how did the world let this happen? And there's no answer. But now there's an answer because they're doing it again. They're letting it happen again. It's the new Holocaust. Definitely is the new Holocaust. They're going to probably maybe even outdo the numbers of, you know.
They're going to outdo 6 million.
6 million? Where'd you get that number, 6 million?
That's
not 6 million. Mathematically impossible. Let's read about Menachem Begin. What did he say? Our race is the master race. In a speech he gave to the Knesset in 1982, the sixth prime minister of Israel said, "Our race is the master race. We are divine gods on this planet. In fact, compared to our race, other races are beasts and animals, cattle at best." Menachem Begin. And this is the people that you're in bed with. So you'll see what happens. Shafiq. Nehemet Shafiq of Columbia University, who went, was spanked and reprimanded again by the Israel lobby, came with her tail between her legs, and went on the attack against every dean, professor, and student who protested. And what happened to her? Kicked to the curb. She's resigned. She can't handle the pressure. And the Israel lobby, the Zionists, the pro-Israel types, they did not stand with her for 1 minute. After she went and did their bidding. She went and did their bidding. Turned against her own staff, her own students. Did their bidding. They didn't support her. And now they're saying, good riddance to you. You didn't do enough. It's always you didn't do enough with these folks. You didn't do enough. No one is good in their eyes. You are used only as a tool. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to go. And we got to take these kids to Patterson. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful event. Okay. And an evening. We're going to go to the Great Falls. We're going to Kahwa House. And we're going then to Dhikr and Fikr with prophetic living. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله